Rav Lichtenstein spoke about the role of clothing in Parshas Bereishis, and in many ways this sicha is characteristic on many fronts. Number one, that Rav Lichtenstein's approach to the Parsha was very much traditionalist. A lot of people associate the Gush Yeshiva with some of the new methods, not new methods, but literal methods of learning Tanakh and reading Tanakh, ways that were less popular over the last few hundred years, more popular in the days of the Rishonim, that have become much more accepted, much more, there's been a renaissance in the modern state of Israel, and that has begun to ripple to communities across the world. But Rav Lichtenstein was very much someone who read the Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra, the Rabbeinu Bechaye, Rashi, and built, he was a very careful textual reader, but the core of his ideas came from some of the input he received from the classic Mefarshim. And second of all, that he would always connect his ideas on the Parsha to halachic templates or halachic mechanisms from Shas, from Rishonim and Shas, not just from general associations and metaphors to Shas, but from really deep dives into the halachic analysis. And this is no example. This is no exception. There are two appearances of clothing in Perek Gimel. The first is in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitpuru alei teina v'yasur lem chagurot, that Adam and Chava, after they had sinned, they realized that they were undressed, so they weaved for themselves, or they stitched for themselves, very, very rudimentary coverings made from fig leaves. And it seems as if it was covering primarily the bottom part of their bodies, chagurot. Sounds like it was something around their waist that would cover the erva. And about 15 psukim later, in Pasuk Chavalef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dresses them, presumably much more elegantly. V'yas Hashem Elokim li'adam u'li'ishto kosnos ar v'yel b'shem. So these are clothing made of skin. The literal translation, of course, many have read the phonetics of or. They were radiant and resplendent, but the simple reading is they were skin-type clothing, and it covered all of their skin as opposed to the chagurot, whether it's made of skin or not. I'll discuss in a few moments, but it covered all of their bodies, not just the chagurot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu dresses them. He didn't just offer it to them, but he dressed them. So, of course, Rav Lichtenstein spoke about the difference between these two forms of clothing. And to create a framework for the difference, Rav Lichtenstein quoted the Rashi immediately prior to the description of the fig leaf rudimentary clothing. The Pasuk says, "Vatipakachna einei shnehem vayit'u ki arumim heim." Their eyes opened, and they knew they weren't wearing any clothing. So Rashi says, what does it mean that their eyes were open? Even a blind person who can't see with his eyes is aware if he is or isn't wearing clothing. What does it mean that they opened their eyes? They don't have to open their eyes to identify their nakedness. So Rashi writes, Mitzvah achas haisa biyadam v'nis'artalu himena. There was only one mitzvah that they were instructed, and they became disrobed or divested of that mitzvah, and they sensed it, and they traced that nakedness or lack of being dressed in mitzvahs. They were given one mitzvah, and that mitzvah was divested from them. They then were able to associate that with their physical nakedness. For Rav Lichtenstein, this suggested that Adam and Chava felt embarrassed morally, physically. The next pasuk, they begin to hide. Vayischabe ha'adam bishtobim le'Hashem Elokim mitoch etz hagan. They're not hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu can identify them and locate them. They're hiding out of shame. So the fact that the ensuing pasuk speaks about their shame and their hiding led Rav Lichtenstein to identify the covering of their bodies with these rudimentary fig leaf clothings to be an act of shame. Again, moral shame in having been divested of the one mitzvah they were commanded, and a moral shame which is associated in their mind with physical discomfort or physical awkwardness of not having any clothing on. So that first clothing was meant to be a response to shame, to embarrassment, to being mortified at the prospect of having betrayed something so obvious and so basic. And they take two responses. One is to cover their bodies, and one is to hide in the thicket. Now, indeed, being embarrassed and feeling shame is a core trait for proper tshuva. The Gemara says in Brachos, Kol hamizbayish, mochalin lo al kol avonosav. If a person sins but feels real busha, then all of his sins are likely to be exonerated. In Tanakh, all of our Nevi'im, Ezra constantly returns to L'cha Hashem, Zaniel L'cha Hashem, Atzdakav L'Naboshes upon him. Ezra says, L'okai boshi v'nechlamti l'arim, L'okai p'nai lecha. So there's no question that this busha is vital to tshuva. So why is there another article of clothing? This should be the pinnacle of their tshuva. Why is there need for the second article of clothing? So for this, Rav Lichtenstein quoted the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya claims that the next clothing were me'ulim v'nichbadim me'or. They were skin-type clothing that were the higher grade. They were majestic. They were of the superior quality. V'atfu yisatfu b'hem kol gufam derech kavod. It's not just pragmatically to protect them against the wind and the rain, but it was a sign of honor and regality. It would be inferior and it would be substandard. They just remained those original fig leaf type coverings. So if you associate the Rabbeinu Bechaya and Rashi, in Rashi's explanation, that first article of clothing is a response to shame. But they need something more than that. They need to be upgraded to a higher caliber of clothing. And for Rav Lichtenstein, this upgrading is part of the tshuva process. Even though you could feel very deep shame, sometimes the process tapers off. You feel shame, and then immediately, I'm using my words, Rav Lichtenstein didn't use these words, but somehow a dissonance sets in, and you compartmentalize the shame, and you move on, and you find some way to deal with it. But it doesn't lead to character conversion. It doesn't lead to a transformation of self, which is so necessary for proper tshuva. So this second installment of clothing is essentially the second installment of the tshuva process. The first installment is to realize you're naked, to realize you fail, to feel a very deep sense of shame and disappointment. Without that feeling, tshuva is inevitably empty and formulaic and very clinical. But that's not enough. You have to then transform yourself into a different person, or at least into different habits. And that transformation is conveyed by Kodesh Baruch Hu providing another layer or a different type of clothing, another layer to this process. Rav Lichtenstein quoted a very interesting conversation in Tosfos from the world of Big Day Kahuna. And he used the world of Big Day Kahuna as a gloss or a metaphor to better understand the role and function of clothing. One pasuk describes the Kohanim as wearing clothing l'chavod ulativ ares. L'vnei Aaron tasu kutanos. This is in Shmos Perek Chavches pasuk Mem. V'yasisilem avnitim, shirts and belts and hats and migbaos taselhem l'chavod ulativ ares. And that entire pasuk in the description is summarized by the splendor and the regality that clothing are meant to convey. But there's another pasuk, two pasukim later, v'sisalem michnesei vad, pants, lechasos bisar erva, to cover their private areas. So these two functions of clothing are already latent in the Torah's description of the Big Day Kahuna. The pants are described in a very rudimentary fashion, in a very pragmatic fashion, to cover the erva. Whereas the other types of clothing are described as lechavod lesifaris. And just to heighten and to accentuate that difference, there's an interesting Tosos in Sanhedrin, Pegimel Amid Beis, which actually suggests, he quotes one daya, that the difference between pants and the other clothing has real halacha consequences. If a person enters without his Big Day Kahuna, he's only chayiv, if a kohen enters, without the Big Day Kahuna, he'd only be chayiv Misa if he performs an avoda without the Big Day Kahuna. If he just walks in without some of the Big Day Kahuna, he wouldn't be chayiv Misa. However, if he doesn't have pants, then he's chayiv Misa just by entering, because that's more of an affront, obviously, to walk in without pants than to walk in without a hat or to walk in without a shirt. Tosfos rejects this option, but the very option reinforces or cements the difference between pants and other articles of clothing. And for Rav Lichtenstein, that difference functionally was expressed by the fig leaf clothing, whether it covered only their bottom parts or the entire body, as opposed to the more regal and more royal clothing of skin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for them. And the message was, it's not enough to respond to your failure through shame and embarrassment. There has to be some internalization and change. And the shame and embarrassment should trigger a conversion. And Hashem was assisting the conversion by providing a new layer of clothing. The second difference, which Rav Lichtenstein traced, and in many ways is more reflective of the Rabbeinu Bechaya's language, is that these clothing were providing man with a sense of honor and a sense of entitlement, not entitlement, but of glory and almost superiority over the rest of nature. Keep in mind, Rabbeinu Bechaya, when he describes these clothing of ore, he says that they were intended to provide kavod and malbushim and me'ulim b'nechbadim. According to Rav Lichtenstein, the second clothing wasn't just the second stage of tshuva, but it reinforced in man, fallen man, his primal or primary role in the universe, that he alone would wear clothing, and that clothing wouldn't just be functional, but that clothing would be royal, and that clothing would be metaphoric, and would be a way to enhance him and to provide him the cover that was due. And this was important because, again, this is my explanation, you would think that fallen man no longer occupies that primary role or primary position in the universe. He's compromised that. But for Rav Lichtenstein, this was just a shift into a different relationship with nature, less harmonious, less in sync, less native. Obviously, original man lives right in the core of nature, and there's a very harmonious synchronicity between the world of nature and man. And now man is a little bit distant from nature, and nature itself has changed. But it doesn't mean that man has compromised his status as the pinnacle of creation. It just means that, again, these are my words, Rav Lichtenstein didn't discuss this angle. It just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now giving him clothing to represent a different status. In fact, in wearing clothing, man is a little bit different now from nature. The first man didn't have to wear clothing. He had a status of primacy or of superiority. Even without clothing, he was more akin to nature. And now that man is a bit alienated from nature and differentiated from nature, so he still is the primary purpose of creation, but that difference is expressed by wearing clothing. According to the Eben Ezra, in fact, the clothing wasn't clothing of skin, it was actual skin. Original man just had bones and flesh. Now he was provided with skin. That's an extreme version, hard for us to imagine, but the transition from bones and flesh to actual skin shows the drama of this transformation into a new category of man, a new profile or identity of man. Even if we don't accept the Eben Ezra, we just accept the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that these were some clothing or wardrobe made of skin, it certainly suggests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reinforcing man's status as the purpose of creation, even though he's failed, and so many religions see fallen man as having abdicated or forfeited that status for which he was originally intended. And I've spoken about this before in the context of Slobodka Musa, that Slobodka stressed that man, even after the fall, had unlimited divine potential, and that dictated both religious ambition as well as a highly scaled form of Min Adam L'Chavero and Chesed. But in Rav Lichtenstein, the clothing, in his thought, the clothing just reflected HaKadosh Baruch Hu reinstating man's superior identity even after the fall. So, two different ideas about these two layers of clothing. They're two layers of tshuva, or they represent two different profiles of man. Original man living in harmony and in sync with nature, and fallen man still being different or still being superior to nature, although being clothed to highlight the differences.